In the twilight of Japan's aristocratic era, beauty becomes both blessing and curse. Kiyoaki Matsugai, an 18-year-old of extraordinary handsomeness, drifts through 1912 Japan like a cherry blossom destined to fall. Born to a wealthy family with samurai origins, he was raised in the household of Count Ayakura to acquire refinement his nouveau-riche father lacked. This unusual upbringing created in him a temperament at odds with his heritage-sensitive, melancholic, preoccupied with aesthetics rather than martial values. His beauty troubles those around him. His father worries about his unmanliness, while his provincial tutor, Ienuma, views his sensitivity as moral decay. Even the emperor once patted young Kiyoaki's head, a moment so sacred that the household hairdresser refused to cut those strands for months. By 18, he has grown isolated, with only his pragmatic friend Honda as confidant. Unlike other young men channeling energy into studies or military training, Kiyoaki cultivates discontents, meticulously recording dreams without interpretation, including one haunting vision of his own coffin with a young woman sobbing beside it. The Matsugai estate itself embodies Japan's cultural confusion, sprawling grounds with both Japanese gardens and European fountains, tatami rooms alongside Victorian parlors, servants in both kimono and Western uniforms. This physical setting mirrors the broader tensions of a nation caught between ancient traditions and Western influences, a struggle embodied in Kiyoaki's conflicted nature and the dying elegance of a world suspended between past and future. Have you ever denied yourself what you most wanted because wanting it made you feel vulnerable? This is Kiyoaki's fatal flaw, a pride so consuming it blinds him to his own heart until too late. At the center of Spring Snow lies the complex relationship between Kiyoaki and Satoko Ayakura, the 20-year-old daughter of Count Ayakura. Having grown up together, she knows his childhood intimately, making him feel both connected and desperate for emotional distance. When Satoko asks, "What would you do if all of a sudden I weren't here anymore?" his anxiety surfaces immediately. Though thrilled when she rejects a marriage proposal for him, Kiyoaki responds with an insulting letter comparing women to plump, lascivious little animals. Later, during a snowy rickshaw ride, they share a passionate kiss when he realizes his fanatical insistence on total independence was a disease, and that their beauty allowed them to flow together, merging as easily as measures of quicksilver. Behind aristocratic elegance runs a current of manipulation that would impress Machiavelli. Power operates through intimate knowledge and strategic relationships. Kiyoaki controls his tutor Inonuma by exploiting his interest in a maid. Satoko's maid, Tadashina, arranges secret meetings between the lovers. Most shocking is Count Ayakura instructing Tadashina to ensure Satoko loses her virginity before marriage, a subtle revenge for past humiliation. When Prince Harunori seeks to marry Satoko, Marquis Matsugai supports the match to repay his debt to the Ayakuras, while the Ayakura see an opportunity to elevate their status and finances. Servants wield influence through knowledge of their master's secrets. Tadashina's suicide attempt and revealing letter forces the families to confront Satoko's pregnancy. Emperor Meiji's death marks the end of rapid modernization and the beginning of militarism. Honda suggests a new war of emotion had begun, with sensitive young men like Kiyoaki as its unwitting soldiers. When desire collides with duty, Kiyoaki and Satoko consummate their relationship in a modest boarding house despite her engagement to Prince Harunori. Their intimate encounter unfolds with delicate sensitivity, his inexperience met with her patience. Under Satoko's guidance, Kiyoaki discovers a rich new world without barriers, symbolizing their liberation from societal constraints. They shed tears of joy mingled with the consciousness of unpardonable sin. When Tadashina discovers Satoko's pregnancy, the elderly maid warns that rejecting an imperially sanctioned marriage would be treason and demands termination. After her suicide note reveals all, the Matsugaye family arranges for Satoko to travel to Osaka for the procedure, disguised as a spiritual journey. Both families handle the crisis clinically, prioritizing status over emotional well-being. Afterward, Satoko retreats into silence and makes a shocking decision at Geshu Temple, cutting her hair as a symbolic offering and requesting to become a novice, an act serving as both escape and protest. Is the person who wakes up today the same person who fell asleep last night? This question from the Matsugaya Villa encapsulates Spring Snow's exploration of identity and time, incorporating Buddhist reincarnation concepts beyond the central tragedy. Prince Patanadid views reincarnation not as one consciousness in different lives, but as the same vital current flowing through multiple existences, like a river remaining unchanged despite its ever-changing waters. Honda concludes there's little difference between one consciousness possessing various vital currents or one vital current animating different consciousnesses. At Geshu Temple, the abbess describes Indra's net, an infinite network where each intersection holds a jewel reflecting all others, symbolizing the interconnected chain of causation. She explains Yuyashiki as reality constructed through consciousness, and Alaya, the eighth consciousness containing karmic seeds of all deeds. Kiyowaki's prophetic final words, "I'll see you again, I know it, beneath the falls," establish the foundation for Mishima's tetralogy, beginning a reincarnation cycle with Honda as witness. "Beauty is truth, truth beauty," wrote Keats. But in Mishima's world, beauty both illuminates and deceives. Throughout Spring Snow, beauty operates as a double-edged sword, conferring power while ensuring destruction. Kiyowaki's extraordinary physical beauty troubles his father as an ominous sign, making him desired yet isolated, more observed than understood. The novel links beauty with impermanence through symbolic imagery. When Kiyowaki and Satoko walk beneath cherry blossoms, they gradually lost their distinctive outlines, merging with the darkening sky in a way that filled Kiyowaki with foreboding. This embodies mono no aware, the Japanese concept where awareness of impermanence heightens beauty's poignancy. Elegance serves as both accomplishment and impediment. The aristocratic refinement Count Ayakura cultivates in Kiyowaki becomes a barrier to authentic emotion. When Kiyowaki acknowledges his love for Satoko, he realizes that genuine emotion was crude, violent, and far removed from elegance. By the novel's end, Kiyowaki recognizes his conscious elegance had withered, leaving his heart desolate. Like spring snow, beautiful but destined to melt, Kiyowaki's life follows tragedy's inexorable logic. His grandmother's remark about Satoko's pregnancy suggests his transgression was somehow fated. The lovers consistently reject practical paths. Kiyowaki claims to have no objection to Satoko's engagement, only realizing his love after imperial sanction, embracing impossibility rather than solutions. Similarly, Satoko chooses absolute renunciation, vowing never to meet Kiyowaki again in this world. Despite failing health, Kiyowaki attempts to see Satoko at Geshu Convent, collapsing at the gate but still denied a meeting. Honda arrives only in time to accompany his dying friend back to Tokyo. On the train, Kiyowaki has a final prophetic dream before whispering, "I'll see you again, beneath the falls." His death at 20 completes the cycle that began with his dream of his own coffin, suggesting that, like spring snow, what melts will return in the cycle of desire, suffering, and rebirth.